Good evening, everyone. You all do know me, but my name is Marco or Marco. That is Marco over there. I am not Marco. Yeah. Marco Polo or Marco, one of those. All right, today's message is entitled, I Am the True Vine. So let's get into it. John 15 says, I am the true vine. Next one. Here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So for those of you who don't know, I work on a wine farm, and if you will just indulge me for a little bit, I'm going to share some wine history with you. So about 175 years ago, all the vines in the world were attacked by an outbreak of this little bug called phylloxera. Next slide. That little bug over there. And what that bug does is that bug feeds on the roots of the vine. But what it does is it feeds on the roots of the vine at a pace that is faster than that the vine can actually replenish itself or grow new roots. So what was happening is those bugs were eating the roots, and as you can see, the roots then get swollen, and they can't actually do... Must I just hold it here? Okay. The roots are then... No, softer. That's too much. Okay. So the roots become swollen, and what happens is that the roots can then no longer do what they are intended for. And then in the end, the vine dies. Okay. But what happened was the farmers of those days, so this is in 1850s, the farmers realized that there was a particular country in the world where vines were not being as badly affected as the rest of the world. So what they did, they were very clever in those days, they went and they took their fragile, their weaker plants, and they grafted those weaker plants onto the more robust, the stronger rootstock from this country. So there you can see there's pictures. There's different methods and ways you can do it. You cut it and you then splice it. So I've mentioned the word grafted. So there are two words that I'm going to use is ungrafted and grafted. Ungrafted is when a vine is a single plant. So from the base of its root all the way to the tip of the ends of the leaves, it is one plant. It is in its natural original state. And then we have grafted vines, which are vines like this, where we have a weaker plant that is then spliced or sewn into a stronger rootstock. So that is what these farmers did back then in the 1850s. And because of that, because of this grafting process, we are actually able to have vines in the world today. About 95% of the world's vines are now all grafted vines, purely because if it wasn't for this, we would have none. So this concept, this picture of grafting, I really felt is something that really displays our walk with Jesus. And Jesus actually uses it in John 15, where he says, I am the true vine. You see, when we try and do life, when we try and do things in our own strength, in our flesh, when we try and follow the commandments of Jesus, when we try and follow the moral thing or we do the right thing, but we do that in our own strength, we are then operating as an ungrafted vine. We are then operating as a fragile vine that is susceptible and vulnerable to the bugs of this world. So what might these bugs look like? In 1 John 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." You see, so sometimes these things can be seemingly obvious. It's things of the flesh, those things that can lead to addictions, things like games, things like phone usage, things like pornography, alcohol. It could be the love of status, the love of wealth, or it could even be something a little bit more insidious, something a little bit inside of us that no one can see, self-sufficiency, covetedness, or even pride. You see, just like the vineyards in the 1850s, it doesn't start with just this onslaught of bugs. It starts off with one bug. Let's call him Steve. Steve is going to come, and Steve. So Steve is going to come, and he is going to start eating at your roots. But because he is one bug, you are able to replenish your roots. You are able to grow new roots, and you're able to overcome the fact that he's eating your roots. But what Steve does is Steve goes and calls his friend, and he calls his friend's friend, and his friend calls his friend. And soon you have an entire colony of phylloxera bugs at your roots. And then what they do is they start eating at your roots faster than you can replenish it. And then what they also do is they eat your roots and they leave open a soft tissue of your roots so that other bugs can actually get inside and start eating you from the inside out. And that is exactly what we are like. Now, I know what I've said isn't a very uplifting preach today. You know, you are fragile. You are vulnerable to the bugs of this world. But while that is the truth, it's only half of the truth. The other half is that with the Lord, the situation is never hopeless. You see, like John 15, while we are fragile vines, while we are vulnerable to the things of this world, we are not without hope. The vine dresser has given us the true vine, and he has grafted us into that true vine, so that not only will we not be vulnerable to the bugs of this world, but we will also be able to flourish. We will also be able to produce fruit, a good fruit, fruit of righteousness. But while we are grafted into the true vine, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. So the first question is, what is my position? So, as I said, we have the vine dresser, and he is constantly surveying his vineyards, constantly looking at all his different vineyards. You have the true vine, and then you have us, the branches, that are grafted into the true vine. And with all of this, the vine dresser is surveying his vines and pruning where he needs to. You see, the relationship is between the branch and the true vine, and the true vine and the vine dresser. There is a relationship there. And these branches remaining abiding in the true vine, with the vine dresser pruning those branches, will lead to bearing of fruit. Now, just a little bit of an aside. When in Scripture you see a word that is repeated over and over again, you always need to consider the meaning of the word, and you need to understand it within the context. And here, in 8 verses, we hear the word abide, or we read the word abide 7 times. So the word abide, to abide is to dwell, to remain, to be present, and to be held and kept. In other translations, they sometimes use the word to stay or to remain. Ultimately, the word abide speaks of a dependency and a unity. You see, once the vine is grafted into the rootstock, it is completely reliant on that rootstock. The rootstock soaks up the water. It uses its internal vein system to take the water up the stem. And then only if, and only if, the branch is grafted into the stem completely and correctly, will the leaves be able to receive water and nourishment in order to produce fruit. I emphasize the words there, completely and correctly. Thank you. I use the words completely and correctly there, because if we are not completely and correctly grafted into the stem, we will leave a small area of soft tissue. And that soft area, or that area of soft tissue, isn't just an area for some more bugs to get in, to start an infection. You see, that area of soft tissue, that area is a disconnect in our relationship with the true vine. And that soft tissue is sin in our lives. You see, that sin in our lives, that soft tissue, gives Satan an opportunity to come in and have a foothold in our lives. And if we are not careful, and without even knowing it, that soft tissue, that foothold becomes a stronghold. Because Satan gets in, and there's more and more bugs that get into the soft tissue and start an infection. So I need to check my position. Am I abiding in Christ completely and correctly? Or are there areas in my life where I've allowed bugs of the world to come in? Am I truly abiding in Christ, or am I just in his vicinity? Question two, why is it important to abide and remain abiding? To truly abide has to do with our long-term position and not our once-off experience. I'll say that again. To truly abide has to do with our long-term position and not our once-off experience. And you see, this is very important, because in verse 5 to 8, Jesus says that if we are not completely abiding in him, we will not be able to bear fruit. His words are, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." In other words, Jesus is saying that if you are not completely reliant on me, you will not be able to achieve the purpose with which you were made, or for which you were made. You are made for a purpose. Just like the vines have been grown for a purpose, the vines are there to produce fruit for the farmer. And that fruit is the pride and joy of the farmer. So are we. We have been created with a purpose to grow and produce fruit. And that fruit, fruit of righteousness, is the pride and joy of God the vine dresser. So the best position for us is to be grafted into the true vine. But God cannot force you to be grafted. I cannot force you to be grafted. You need to have a shift in your heart. You need to move from an area of self-sufficiency to surrender. We need to surrender to God and the will that he has for our life. You need to have a heart change. You need to realize, or have that revelation of, this is where I belong. I belong to be held, like the word abide says, to be held by someone that is stronger than me. I belong there. We need to have that heart change, moving from self-sufficiency to surrender. An attitude of surrender an attitude of reliance on God. We need to position our hearts to abide in Jesus. So question one was, what is my true position? Question two, why is it important to abide and remain? And thirdly, am I prepared and willing to undergo pruning? I think if I had to ask everyone out here, would you like to be fruitful? I assume the answer would most likely be yes from everyone. Okay. And what this passage tells us is that in order to be fruitful, it is conditional upon two things. And those are, our fruitfulness is on the condition that we remain abiding. And the second, our fruitfulness is on condition or as a result of pruning. Now, I know it sounds a little bit counterproductive. If a vine is producing fruit, why are we now going to cut it back? And at the time, the vine might not even understand it, but it is what's good for the vine. And you see, if the vine is pruned at the right time of the year and in the right place, so leaving just enough of those little eyes on the branch so that buds can shoot from it. If a vine is pruned at the right time and the right place, that vine, although it will take a little bit of a knock, it will be able to overcome that setback and produce more fruit, healthier fruit. And what better person to know the right time and the right place in our lives to prune but God? So Jesus talks here about pruning, and this pruning is a spiritual pruning. So God removes and refines aspects of our lives that are possibly hindering us from spiritual growth. But what does he remove? Well, he removes branches that are maybe not producing the correct fruit or as the healthy fruit. This act of God is our sanctification process, the refining of our heart, which leads to the turning away and removal of sinful behaviors, distractions, or areas in our life that are hindering us from growing spiritually. You see, anything that does not represent the true vine is cut back. The word says that the true vine and the branches are to become one. In John 17, verse 21, Jesus is busy praying for all the believers or all the people who start to believe in him. And he says, he's now busy praying to his Father, and he says, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. You see, this act of pruning is an act of love and care intended to refine and purify our character and our faith. Spiritual pruning is an essential part of a believer's life. You see, God wants his children, he wants us to grow in holiness and be more Christ-like. And that is what this pruning process does. It shapes us to look more like Christ. So vines and us are pretty much the same things. We are the branches. Jesus is the true vine. And if we are grafted into him and we get nourishment from him, we may be producing good fruit. We might be thinking, I'm living a good life right now. And then God comes and he prunes us. It might seem painful at the time. But what is difficult in that moment is that we will never understand why God is doing it. But what we can understand is his character. We can know and understand God's word to be true. You see, these trials that we might be facing might be God pruning us so that we can bear healthier and more fruit once we overcome that trial. Question four is, How are we pruned? So we are pruned by the word. Verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That word for clean and word for prune in the Greek are similar, and they speak of a cleansing or a purifying. I've got the Greek words here. I'm not going to pronounce them. Kathoria and Kathoroi, I believe. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we are pruned by the word. We are also pruned by trials. James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It produces fruit. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So you see, it could be that God allows a financial difficulty in your life. Maybe he allows you to be sick, to get sick. Or maybe he puts a little bit of a setback in your life, and your life isn't going the way you had planned. Remember, we don't always know when the right time is for the pruning. But when we are in the middle of the pruning, we don't understand why God has done it, and it might not be pleasant. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, for the moment, so meaning in that very moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, we are pruned by the Lord's discipline. Proverbs 3, verse 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. So you see, the vine dresser will prune us in his godly discipline, which at the time will seem painful. But we need to understand that the basis for his discipline is love and delight in us. God loves us, and that is why he prunes us. That is why he disciplines us. So we are pruned by the word. We are pruned by trials. We are also pruned by people. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, wounds, I don't think I've given this to you, Connie. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. 27 verse 6, Proverbs 27 verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Andrew actually describes this verse, and he says that this verse is, your enemy is going to come round and he's just going to kiss you. He's going to tell you everything's all right, you're doing great, keep on going. But a true friend, a friend who loves you, is going to tell you something in truth and in love. And it's going to hurt, it's going to wound you. But because it came from a friend, you can trust it. You see, that is why accountability and being sown into a body is so important. You see, our walk with the Lord will never not be with our brothers and sisters alongside us. So our brothers and sisters might see something in our lives that are hindering us from our spiritual growth. We talk about those blind spots that we can't see, but others can. So in love, you need to find someone who loves you enough to have that hard conversation with you and say to you, you are not doing this right. Because they want to see you grow in holiness. They want to see you grow to be more Christ-like. Accountability and the body is extremely important. 1 John 1 verse 7. I don't know that either. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see, being grafted into Jesus, into the true vine, being grafted into him, walking alongside him, we will produce fruit. And I can assure you that God is going to prune you. He is going to cut back areas of your life that are not producing fruit, areas of your life that are hindering you from your spiritual growth. But we need to remain steadfast in Jesus. During those times, we need to kick off our fleshly desire to throw in the towel and just go, oh, this is too difficult. I can't do this walk anymore. We need to rather persevere. We need to resist that fleshly urge and rather realign ourselves to Jesus. Press in harder to Jesus. Persevere. As a very wise man once said, during our trials, we need to suffer well. That's Yohandre, by the way. And we need to suffer well so that we are equipped, that when we come out of those trials, we are then able to overcome that trial. We are then able to produce more fruit, healthier fruit, so that we can give all glory to God. I want to finish up with verse 7, where it says, ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. Now, I believe that this part of the verse is misquoted and misused so often because people don't quote the entire verse. They only quote that part of the verse. The entire verse says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish or desire, and it'll be done for you. I believe that this verse could actually be read, when you abide in me, I will abide in you. Ask whatever you desire, and it will be given to you. You see, if we are abiding in Jesus, if we are abiding in the true vine, there is that sense of unity. There is that relationship. And I think what Jesus is saying here is that if we are truly, completely, and correctly grafted into him, we will be in unity with Jesus. And what he desires for my life will be the exact same thing that I desire for my life. Because my heart will be aligned with Jesus's heart. What he wants, what is in his heart for me, will be what is in my heart. So you see, it is very easy for God to say, when you are fully and completely abiding in the true vine, ask what you desire and it'll be given to you. Because what we are asking is exactly what Jesus wants for us. In closing, I really feel that the Lord has a few areas that he wants to minister into. So if I can just ask you to bear with me and just position yourself. Position your hearts and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if what I'm saying resonates with you and resonates in your heart, won't you please respond? If after hearing what you've heard today has stirred something inside of your heart, and you know that for the very first time you have realized who Jesus is and that you need to be abiding in him. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to be grafted into the true vine so that you can continue your purpose of producing righteous fruit. If that is you for the first time and you want to declare Jesus your Lord and Savior, won't you please raise your hand? Or perhaps you've been grafted into Jesus. Perhaps your branches are maybe not producing as much fruit as they used to. Maybe they're not producing fruit at all. And maybe you've noticed that there's certain areas of your life where these bugs have crept in. The bugs of the world have now started to create a divide between you and Jesus. If that is you right now and you want to recommit your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need to be grafted into you. I need my daily nourishment from you. Won't you please just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So if you have raised your hands to this question, won't you please come to the front? I really want to encourage you, come to the front so that the leaders can pray with you. Because the word says that if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is a very important part of our walk with the Lord. Leaders, won't you please come up? Pray for them. And then lastly, if you feel like you are in a pruning season, if you feel like the Lord is busy pruning you, busy removing, busy cutting back areas of your life that no longer represent the true vine, and you are in need of a little bit of God's perspective of your situation, God's supply of joy, perseverance, or faith, won't you please come to the front so that leaders can pray for you? The points that I've mentioned are just points that the Lord has laid on my heart. But if there are any areas in your life that you feel that you need some prayer for, please come to the front. As leaders, we really want to pray with you and help you to be abiding, grafted into the true vine.